All right, let's take a confession this morning. One to go. As I sit to listen to the word of God today, the door of utterance has been opened unto me, and I hear the voice of God clearly speaking to me. This is the way to go, walk ye in it. I listen under the influence of the Spirit of God, and I'm not distracted by anything or anyone. The word of God is food to my spirit. I am strengthened by it this morning. It is wine to my heart, creating joy within me. It is oil to my faith, causing my life to shine, giving me victory in everything that I do. As my eyes make contact with the scriptures used in this message, the Spirit of God opens new things to me. He also brings to my remembrance things Jesus once showed me. I come to understand God's system on the earth, and I receive instruction, encouragement. Amen. All right. This morning I want to... Those of you wearing masks... The Lord shall be with you. All right. This morning, I want to share on a subject that I've termed piercing the darkness. Please, the sound. I think it's too loud coming back to me, please. All right. Piercing the darkness. There's a hollowness in the sound. That's not right. All right, and it's still on the subject of results of believing prayer that we started last week. Piercing the darkness, results of believing prayer. You have to adjust this thing. It's not... Go to your standard. All right, so in this message, I want to address... six things, but I think I'll be able to cover five this morning. And these are powerful concepts to successful prayers, or the art of praying successfully. Five powerful concepts. So I will teach them this way so that they are easily absorbable, all right, to everyone, putting it into itemizing it in a concept here. And it's a very important message, please, all right? So please do listen attentively to this, all right? For some of the things I'm saying this morning, is the first time in my life I've ever taught these things. All right, so the first thing about prayer, that we have God to answer, our first question about prayer, is that why did God in the first place establish a system of prayer that seems to limit his own ability to work? Why do you set up a system that, like John Wesley said, it now appears that God will not do anything as far as the redemption of man is concerned if somebody doesn't pray and ask him to intervene? In other words, without the prayers of people or man on this earth, we are not going to see the intervention of God. Why will God, who created all things, why will God, who was on this earth for 6 days creating things, including man, without any authorization or permission of anybody, who upholds all things by the word of his power, who created all things by the spoken word, why will he now create a system where he has to invite, appeal to men to come and ask him for certain things that he intends to do? And if this people or person doesn't respond to the invitation of God, then God is unable to do that upon the earth. Why will he tie himself and bind himself to this system of prayer? We see in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. All right, we're starting off from verse 19. We're starting from verse 19. Ezekiel 22 and from verse 19. And it says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you are all become... Sorry, verse 29. I was wondering what I was reading. Ezekiel 22 from verse 29. Now, the people in the land used oppression and exercised robbery, and they have vexed the poor and the needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Now, verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me. He said, I sought for a man that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. So God did not want to destroy the land. The sins of the people had come up to a point where the just recompense will see this, for their behavior was that they were going to be destroyed. God wanted to intervene in his mercy and stop the destruction of the land. And therefore God had to seek out a man that will stand before him in the gap and offer up prayers unto him concerning what he wanted to do, that he might bestow mercy on the people. And the scripture says there, he found none in verse 30. Further up there, it says, But I found none. And then verse 31, it says, therefore have I poured my indignation, in other words, because there was no man, the indignation upon them, I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their own head. So it was their way. It says, saith the Lord. Now, it was because he couldn't find anybody that's why, all right, these other things had to happen. Now, you ask, if God wanted to do it, why shouldn't God just have intervened and done it, all right, directly by himself? Why was he seeking for a man to stand in the gap? Why will God create a system that now limits his own ability to use his power in ways that, all right, will represent his nature, leaving him to be misunderstood by people, because people just seeing that to say God is a God of judgment, he poured his wrath upon them, to be misunderstood, all right, by people, why will he create such a system? Why will God, who created all things, uphold all things, created man by himself? Man wasn't even there when he created the heavens and the earth. The last creation was man. And then why will he now set up a system, all right, through which he has to operate by the prayers of his own creation? The reason is that prayer is on the job training. There is something much deeper, hear this, in the issue of prayer than even just getting your own needs met. All right, it is on the job training. In other words, there is something eternal about this issue of entering into prayer. And we will see that, listen, the way in which we are going to live through eternity is going to be based on how much we cooperated with God on this short time that we spent on the earth in the light of eternity. The position that you will occupy in rulership there in God's kingdom throughout eternity will be a direct reflection of the spiritual capacity you developed while you are on this earth. If you lose battles, it is going to show up in eternity. I want to show this here. So you don't have a choice concerning this. We can't just say, well, I prayed about it, I forgot about it, and all of that. We'll see it. This is on the job training. You look at it as you are being trained as an apprentice, all right, in something, and there's going to be an assessment. And whether or not you are going to, after the apprenticeship, the position you will occupy in the company will be based on how well, all right, you allow the training, and that came as a result, or that showed itself by how much results you were able to get the right way. So God delegated his authority to us and now wants to train us. He has placed us on apprenticeship on this earth so that we might learn how to reign with him, all right? And that learning or that education that we receive on this earth will be translated to what and how we will be throughout eternity. We are going to express the training that we received on this earth in eternity. So this is serious business. All right? It is not just, you know, the parents say, we should come. No, it is serious business. A great theologian penned this word. And this was a book that somebody in the fellowship just had. And this was the first time I ever read it in 1989. And around 1989. All right? And he penned these words. He said, by practicing in her prayer closet the enforcement of heaven's decision in the mundane affairs of this life, the church is in a training to rule with Christ over his universal empire. She must learn the art of spiritual warfare, of overcoming evil forces in preparation for her assumption of the throne following the marriage supper of the Lamb. So enable her, he said, to learn, that's the church, the technique of overcoming. God therefore devised the scheme of prayer. So give her that on-the-job training. God decided to delegate his authority so that we can enforce his will right here on the earth. So you are in training, all right, and God wants you to be skillful there, because this skill is going to that you've acquired is going to qualify you for positions in eternity, and it will determine what God can entrust into your hand. God teaches us overcoming on the earth. Say this, and we carry this practice into eternity. You say, Pastor, can you make this kind of statement? All right, let's look at the Bible here. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. Hear what Jesus said to the churches. He said, to him that overcometh will I grant. In other words, it's not everybody. But to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, that overcomes in your own life, even as I also overcame, is what Jesus is saying, and I am set down with my Father in his throne. In other words, to the person that overcomes, he says, I will grant. Now keep that in mind, because you're going to see something that they asked Jesus in his earthly ministry. Revelation 2 verse 26. It says here, Revelation 2, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. In other words, who is going to have power over the nations in eternity? Nations that God wants us to exercise and govern, it says, is the person that overcame while he was right here on the earth. Okay? And this tells us why God wants to do it for us. In other words, people are wondering, why won't God just step in and do it? Because if he steps in and he does it, then the issue of training is just like saying that you send your child to school, and every time they give the child a test, you take the test and do it for the child and then give it to the child and say, go and submit it. And the child gets 10 over 10. 10 over 10. 10 over 10. The day the child enters the exam, they will know that it wasn't the child that was doing the test. So you have to leave it to the child. Do this test. Read this. I cannot transfer my knowledge into your brain. You have to be the one, you've got to read. You have got to study. If you don't, you fail. There is no, you see, whether I like you or not, doesn't matter. If you don't study, you fail. If you fail, it will affect how you live on this earth. If you fail in spiritual things, it affects how you live throughout eternity. Are you saying that this is what God is saying? You say you are going to the Olympics and you want to lift weights. Well, your coach now, what will he do? All he will be doing is telling you how to lift the weights. He must not lift the weights for you. Because if he lifts the weights for you, you won't have the muscles. And when you get to the Olympics, you'll be disgraced. So he can only stand behind, and that's what the Holy Ghost is doing, and teaching you and instructing you. But you are the one who is going to exercise yourself. The mastery has to be on the inside of you. All right? Because when you get to heaven, based on the deposit you have on this earth, is what you will be assigned to in heaven. So that they don't assign two pillars to you to be cleaning. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you say, why? Because every prayer project you have, you gave up before you learned lessons. So you don't have a choice. All right? Let me say, you don't have a choice. In fact, the more difficult the environment, the better it is for you. Because then you have to acquire skills and you have to get into the depth of God's wisdom. So as Christians, we can't make any excuses. You can't say, well, I failed because of the environment. Heaven says, what are you talking about? Did I not tell you that in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, have overcome them? Did I not tell you? Did I not tell you that this is your victory that overcomes the world, even your faith? Did I not tell you that the whole world lies to the wicked one? Did I not tell you? Did I not tell you that greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world? In other words, there are certain things that you must learn. And he wants us to start exercising ourselves. I want to see this and grow in that capacity within so that when we get into eternity, we will have that internal capacity to be able to rule. That's why he will leave you and say, listen, I will instruct and guide you. All right, but you are going to have to do it your own self. This is why, to a very extent, running to pastors to help you every time is not helping people. Because people are not developing capacity. And really, you are destroying them in eternity. And I show this in scripture here. That's what he was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 to verse 4. All right. It says, there are any of you having a matter against another to go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? It says, do you not know that saints will judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? Think about this. If you are going to be in charge of nations, you can't fail building a company. That means you are not learning the lesson. If they give you this country today, can you govern it? In other words, he's saying that you are going to judge angels. So that means you must know more than them. That shows the capacity that a Christian, the average Christian, should have. So we must pray and we must get results by force. Are you following me here? You must kill the bear. You must kill the lion. You must kill your Goliath. Because if you don't, when you get to heaven, they'll say to him that does what? Overcome it. Now, the second thing again is this. Since God therefore said, all right, I've given you authority. Then the next thing want to see, the second concept is this. God guarantees, now get this here. that if you pray, and when you pray, he will answer you. Whatsoever you pray about, be sure God will hear you. Guarantees that. In fact, he gave us a blank check. So that when you are praying, you know that God is not your problem. You know that overcoming the forces of darkness here is what you should deal with. There should be no shadow or iota of doubt inside your heart as to God's disposition towards you in answering prayer. It's a blank check. That's what Jesus said. So that you have what is called a determination. You understand what I'm saying? Which means we are in this thing. Listen, nobody's moving here. We are in this, and this thing is going to be resolved. It's a determination based on assurance. John chapter 16, verse 23 and verse 24. It says this. John 16. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Jesus said this. That you used to come and meet him to ask for things. He said, in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, I say unto you that whatsoever you shall ask the Father, what does whatsoever mean? It means whatsoever. Abi? Whatsoever means anything. Whatsoever. You shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. The Father is not your problem. Hitherto, you have you asked nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be what? Full. In other words, so I challenge you, I said it first service, write out what if you receive today, your joy will be what? Full. Listen. Don't start going deep. That, you know, I don't know, and then you're asking for deep things that you don't understand. What will you have now that will make you behave like Chelsea fans yesterday? You saw how they were? Their joy was what? Full. Listen, they were rejoicing. Somebody got injured. It didn't matter to him. This was joy, what? Unspeakable. So what is it that God will do for you this year? That you say, are you following what I'm saying? Write that one thing. Write it down. That this happens, my joy is what? Full. That's what God is dealing with. Because if there's no intensity of desire for that thing, you won't have staying power. Alright? So put that thing down. Philippians 4, 6 to 8 says, with prayer and thanksgiving, alright, prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, make your request what? Known unto God. So it's your request. What is it that you want to pray about? God is inviting. He says, this is an invitation here. Then John 14, verse 13 and 14, it says this here. It says, John 14, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. All right? It says next verse, and if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So Jesus is giving a blank check, and he says, ask, I will do it. Now, we now go to 1 John 5:14 and cause problems for Christians. Because what has now happened is, by inserting something, and now let me tell you this, of all the things Satan can do, the worst thing he can do to the church is wrong interpretation of scripture. He will incapacitate the people forever. In fact, this issue of I can go on without overcoming things in my life is a doctrine. Is this excessive doctrine of grace that makes people think you can continue in sin and God will be forgiven? Oh boy, when you get to eternity, zot, you won't have God look at you. You couldn't overcome your body. Is that teaching that makes us think that there's nothing wrong? You're just Christian and all that. All right? You say you couldn't overcome your flesh? The Bible says that a man that has rule over his spirit is greater than a man that rules his city. All right? So, unbelievers, they have their dream in their heart, they go for it. Christians, they have the dream, like I said, what will give you joy? Your trip. Am I sure God wants me to have it? Do you understand what I'm saying? The unbeliever is gone, he's pursuing it. He's gone after the dream, he's happy. You have a sense of guilt while pursuing what will give you joy, you are guilty. Can't you see that is? And then what you don't understand is what you now start to chase. And never is that joy where you say, Father, I thank you. Now, it came from 1 John 5:14. Well, if you read it very well, you know there's contradiction in our interpretation. This is the confidence we have in him that if we ask for what? Anything. That's what it says. It says, according to his will. But then we quickly classified it. He heareth us. Now, hear what it says. Next verse. It says, and we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask. It says whatsoever again. We have the petitions who desired it. We desired of him. Not him of us. We of him. Now, God is explaining to me, he said, let me tell you something about this, my will, and I'll show you from scripture. He says, when people come to meet me to pray, what I'm telling them is that I will fulfill that thing according to my will. In other words, in the way in which I have chosen to do it. So when Abraham came to God and said, child, God says, I will give you according to my what? Will. I want a nation, so I will insert this thing. Do you get what we're saying here? So he comes and says, I will grant it to you according to my will. That's why when Jesus went now, this also means that he will choose the path you are going to follow to get that thing done. So when Jesus got there, he says, we both have the same objective to get to your right hand, but is there no other way apart from this? But he says, let it be according to your what? Will. So the will of God was that he had to go through the cross to get to that thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? So here's what God is saying there. Somebody, you're a boss now, a CEO or a chairman of a company, and a young man that you really like comes to meet you and says that, you know, my dream in this company one day is I want to become the chief operating officer of this company. And he asks you and says, this is what I want. And the minute he says that, you loved the soul of that person, the dream inside his heart, and that minute you granted that desire on the inside of yourself. Now, that doesn't mean the next day you make him chief operating officer. You now sit down and think, what will make this person the best chief operating officer? Okay, he needs capacity development. Do you understand what I'm saying? It took him about 3 years to get here. Now, you've answered the prayer. The answer is yes. But he needs capacity development. To get this capacity, let him go and work in the factory. First of all, now, the chairman has answered your prayer now. God has answered prayer. Let him go to Ijebu. Now, I'm from that area, so it's my area I'm saying. Let him go to Jebode, to the factory there, and go and work among the people there. So the next posting that you get, haven't had the conversation with the chairman, is HR calls you, you are now posted to Jebode, to the factory, you'll be staying in this, like, boys' quarter complex, and all of this, you know, there's water, and you now get angry. Can you imagine? I went to ask him, and they say he loves me, the chairman. He did not make me assistant general manager. The first thing that he did was to post me to Ijebode. I said, when God is answering your prayer, he said, follow me now to the answer. And he says that I'm going to take you through things so that when you get to this place, do you understand what I'm saying here? But the problem that we have is the minute he answers the prayer and he begins the journey, we get angry with his will. We are angry. Why should you? All right. In fact, we don't even think the prayer was answered. We think this shows that. And then you go and say, can you imagine that I fasted? Pastor, I practiced everything you said I should do. Confessed, morning, 12 noon watch, and the posting came out in Jebode from Lekki to, what is this? And you are angry. Now, let me show you this, what Jesus told people. They came to meet him in Matthew 20 and verse 20. Let me just show you this here. They came to meet Jesus. Because some of you, God answered your prayer. It's the answer you are angry with. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him, desiring of him a certain thing. Jesus said, what is it now you want? He said unto her, what wilt thou? And she said, Jesus didn't say you're ambitious. They said, grant that these two sons may sit. Remember, to him that overcometh, to sit one on the right hand and one on the left in thy kingdom. Which means this kingdom, my first son should be on the right. There's nobody else in the world, Abby. The second son should be on the left. That's your request. Jesus didn't say anything. He didn't argue. He said, all right, no problem. He answered, you know not what you ask. Oh boy, this thing you're asking, if we want to fulfill it, your children will see one on this earth. All right? One day they wake up, they will see a dog and say, it's a cat. When they are hit with the situations that will make them sit on the left and right, it says this here. All right? Put it back up. It says, are they able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized? He didn't say, I won't give you. He said, can you be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? They said unto him, we are able. He said, you are able. First child that came, Peter, aren't you? He said, I don't know him from anywhere. So you pray unto God. God says, I hear it. I don't have a problem. You have the problem with the process. Once I initiate and answer that prayer, you come and pray now. Like some of us now, we can be praying. You might be angry if the prayer. You say, Lord, we need 100,000 people breakthrough in the covenant. 100,000 people service. God says, no problem. When he sends the 100,000, only 2,000 will look like you. The other 98,000, part of them will be coming from nightclub, just straight from nightclub service. I love Jesus, with booze in their mouth. I love Jesus. They will sit beside you. Jesus! You will say, from whence coming this one? Listen to me. In fact, some of the people that came will come and say, Pastor, oh, you boy, you about you. Ah, man, God, that is all. Hey, they must all know Yoruba. So I come and I say, we are considering, as I'm preaching, it will be translated to Yoruba. Oh my goodness. Listen to me. And then I will preach. Jesus said, Jesus is a weeper. You say, this is not the covenant I came to. Jesus said, you know not what you ask. Are you following what I'm saying? So, God answers prayers, but do you know, in fact, Paul, God said he will suffer many things for me. So, here is the issue. The magnitude of your prayer determines the depth of the process. You pray, God hears and answers, and says, let us begin. And throws you into some deep stuff. That as far as you are concerned, you thought in order to be chief operating officer, the next thing they should have made you is assistant manager. Then they should have given you a car. Then they should have. But God says no. You asked him one day, I want to be CEO. God says no problem. CEOs must first of all be patient. Must be calm under pressure. So he says, next promotion exercise, can you please skip my son or my daughter so that they can learn patience? Thanks a lot. Alright? So that they can learn patience. So they skip your name. This is part of it. Because you have to be patient and calm. Because the day you become CEO, alright? There was one time I was going, I understood that it's not just preaching, you used to become president of fellowship. You know, we share in the fellowship. So one day when we president wanted to have a conference in school, we went somewhere. The man who was supposed to print the thing did not show up on time, or he didn't do the work. I was with him. I was so angry. I said, what kind of chap is this? Let's go. And he just sat down calmly. He said, wait. Let's talk. We don't know what can happen. 2 minutes after, somebody walked in and solved the problem. If it was left to me that day, we would have gone. You can't be CEO and there's a problem, and then it's the members of the staff that are calming you down. Pay Oga, it will be okay. Don't worry. Oga, it will be okay. Eh? God is on the throne. Oga, shall you tell us to make confessions? Oga, calm down. It will be okay. It will be well. Oga. Then they start praying for you, Makasha, and you are there. You are no longer CEO. So So that's the second concept. First is that, all right, so we want to see this training process to understand this. Second is that God hears and answers prayers, and he will take you through, all right, the process to get you to the answer. The third is in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, and this is so important. All right? So important. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same, that's in that prayer, with thanksgiving. Now, what does the word watch mean? The word watch is a military word. It means to guard or to protect. So it says, continue in prayer, but protect is where you get a watchtower. So if you go to a military barracks, they will build a watchtower, all right, and you have soldiers there. Go to a garrison where soldiers are living, and there are soldiers on the watchtower scanning to see any, all right, any funny movement so they can eliminate the threat. So it says you are praying, you are in warfare here, protect the answer to your prayers. You have offered up the prayer, protect that answer until manifestation with continuous thanksgiving. In other words, be a grateful person thanking God. That's how you protect it, or else Satan can snatch the answer to your prayer. So when it appears that things are not working the way you thought they should work, protect the answer to your prayer with thanksgiving. Jonah did it in Jonah 2 and verse 7. It says this, I prayed, Jonah 2, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. Next verse, it says, I prayed, all right, now we come up to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace. So he got the mercy, the answer, but it says, they that observe lying vanities. In other words, you are looking how things are shaping out on the outside. You think that God did not hear your prayer, and then you begin to get upset and angry, all right? Because, you know, you are observing lying vanities. Jeboah is not as fine. The accommodation is not as good as where you're observing that. They that observe, you start saying, God has forsaken me. God has left me, and all of that. They that observe lying vanities do what? Forsake the mercy. Now, how do you hold on to that mercy? The next verse, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay. In other words, once you have prayed, you believe God has heard, answer that prayer. As you continue in the place of prayer, guard the answer to your prayer with continuous thanksgiving. All right? Set up a system where you are consciously thanking God every single day for the answer to the prayer, regardless of appearances. You know that God has held your hand and is leading you according to his will to the fulfillment of that particular promise. Are you following what I'm saying? Alright? So, we also see in Isaiah 52 verse 8, this watching here, the watchmen on the watchtower, it says, they shall lift up the voice, and with a voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye. That's manifestation, when the Lord shall bring. So they hold on to it with singing until the manifestation. So you are going to go through different things, but as you enter into those things, you must be singing, thanking God, praising him, worshiping him. All right? Worshiping him. Because you never know what God is doing. Okay? In other words, even this rain that is falling, that stops some people from coming to church, might just be so that they can tell their friends at home, let's watch online. And you might get more people deciding to come to your church through this service than if people came physically. You don't know. Do you get what I'm saying? Someone says, well, we prayed for a crusade, and it started raining in the crusade. You're angry. God, where's God? Where's God? Where's God? Where's God? Where's God? Where's God? You worship him. This is the process. All right? And this is where you begin to pierce darkness. So the fourth concept, so the third one is protect the answer with continuous thanksgiving. The fourth, therefore, is, here is where the process starts. when you begin to pierce the darkness. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 5. So let me announce to you, things are not going to go your way. Things are going to go God's own way. You pray is not, if you're a control freak, you are in for a very rough ride. Are you following what I'm saying here? If you think you can control everything around you, you are ready for a very rough ride. Because you can shout and shout and throw tantrums. God is going to do what he is going to do. Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast, this is the condition, the confidence, and what's that confidence? If you ask anything, and the rejoicing of hope, firm unto the end. Because the next thing that is going to happen is the next verse here. It says, wherefore the Holy Ghost said, today, if you are listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, this is what the Holy Spirit is telling you today. Harden not your heart. Next verse. As in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. In other words, once you offer up your prayer, God grabs you and says, yes, it's now time to fulfill it. The next thing that will happen is circumstances begin to evolve that you might find, all right, provocative. All right, you go through temptations. It says this, hold fast to your answer, the rejoicing of hope. Offer the sacrifice of praise. He said, this is what the Holy Spirit is telling the church today, if you are hearing the voice of the Spirit. It says this, next verse there. All right, the verse where it says, when your father said, so my works 40 years. Next verse. I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. In other words, we take them by the hand to lead them out according to my will. They err in their heart because they didn't understand that they had to go through temptations. When I came to meet them and said, you are going to the promised land, they didn't understand it's according to my will. And according to my will, you must have capacity before you get to the place. I went to David, he was anointed king, but you must still develop capacity to get there. So Saul begins to throw a spear at David. It's all part of the process of building capacity so that he will be a great king, of experiencing God, of knowing God as his only source. That even the king Saul wasn't his source. All right, all of that deepened his relationship with God. So he goes there and tells us, they do always err in their hearts, and I've never known my ways. Which means they didn't learn anything. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. So they didn't learn anything. So this is where you begin to pierce that darkness there, and you start getting to know the ways of God. When this warfare breaks out, when it looks like things are not going at the way, all right, you think they should go, but they are going in the way of the answers to your prayers. It's time, all right, right there, if you want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit to the church today, he's saying, do not harden your heart when it goes south. He says, what you are to do is to worship me. So thank me that I'm in this process. I am the one doing, all right, leading you this way. That's why he says Psalm 95. That's where the writer of Hebrews got it from, Psalm 95 verse 1. It says this here, Psalm 95. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. This is what he's saying when they post you to Jabode. Sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Verse 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. When that happens, for the Lord is a great God and great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills are his also. It says, the sea is his. He has made it. His hands form the dry ground. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before your maker. He made you. He says this, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you are listening to his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, he says, when your fathers tempted and proved me, saw my works, he said, they always erred in their hearts when they got to that point. They started grumbling, they started complaining, they got angry, they were talking about the people, they went into gossip, they got the root of bitterness. They did not learn my ways. I was grieved with that generation. You get to that point, you'll start. I mean, there was a chap on Twitter, all right, I mean, I tweeted, so I think he follows me, so I saw it. He said, this week, I said, this guy knows principle. This week, I got 2 mails, I think he lives abroad, all right, rejecting me. He said, in the past, I would have been shouting and making noise, throwing tantrums, but I bought myself a drink, I bought myself a steak, crossed my leg, and I said, thank you, Lord, I have been rejected. Because anywhere you are to enter, you will not be rejected. Where you think you should enter that God doesn't want you, they will reject you. You say, well, that's what I want. I say, listen to me. Sodom and Gomorrah was well watered. It was a garden that was well watered. But everything was good. But the end thereof was there. So that kind of rejection occurs. You go and worship God. Knowing that God has heard and answered your prayer. And therefore this is part of the process for that particular answer to come to pass within your life. Are you following what I'm saying? So when you begin to worship, darkness is being pierced. What do we mean by darkness is being pierced? Hebrews 8, 7 to 11 starts occurring. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place should have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, so there was fault in the people. God said the days will come when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not. In other words, they got angry at the wilderness. They got, let me tell you something. Ego, you know, one of the speakers in platform many years ago, I invited him. He said, ego means edge God out. In other words, your ego, that self-centeredness, that it must happen the way, and if it doesn't happen your way, you are angry, and you are throwing tantrums. And may God help you that you are under a strong leader. Or you are in a home with a strong father. Who, when you are throwing tantrums, will tell you, you have not thrown it well, throw it up. Climb up. Back then we'll say we are not eating because we are angry with our parents. My father will tell you in plain terms, anybody that refuses food is not hungry. If you are, the day when you are hungry, you will take food. So I understood quickly, food was not to be used for leverage. Quickly. And I've said this before, and why they thought I was a traitor in the family, but I had to play the game. Why did I have to play the game? Firstborn was a girl. First boy was a boy, wasn't me. Lastborn was there. Lastborn can cry. Firstborn can command. First boy can command. Me, if you cry, you are too old to cry. If you command, who gave you authority? So I had to use diplomacy. So one day I sat down, and I heard my mother telling my father when I was coming down the staircase, he said, that's why I like him. He doesn't do mood onto food. And once he comes down, you give him the drumstick, all war is over. Once he comes now, I came. She gave me drumstick. I said, oh boy, matter is over here. Look, that's every other thing we discuss. All right? But then you are throwing tantrums and you think that the world revolves around you. Let me tell you. If they ever give you any position on this earth, you can be replaced too. Hear it too. You throw tantrums, they will bring somebody that you don't think has capacity, and that will be the end. You can be replaced. So when God says somebody else is promoted, just say, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I worship you. That's that singing. And hold on to your rock. Embrace him with love. Because he's up to something that is very powerful. Are you following what I'm saying? So what now begins to happen as you start worshiping there? Instead of, that's what we saw in Hebrews 8, instead of God saying they continued not, he said, I will do what? Write my laws in their minds. God now starts teaching you laws that you never knew. Alright? He says, he starts putting his laws, correcting the faults in you. He starts to write them in your heart. Things you did not know, he starts showing you. So what are you doing there? You start worshiping and reading the Bible, light begins to come. You start seeing things inside the scriptures. He starts teaching you. Alright? You are right there in Jabode, he's teaching you. He's teaching you. He's teaching you. Okay? You are right there, you toiled all night, you caught nothing, you worship Jesus, he entered your boat, he starts teaching. First thing he tells you, when he comes to you, he says, lend me your boat. He teaches you kindness to other people, showing love while you are there. After he has taught and taught inside your boat, next thing he tells you, reapply for that thing they didn't give you that time. Which means, go back and cast your net on the right hand side. You say, Lord, but I told on, I says, now, you know the power of my word. You go back and apply for the job, you get it. Now, when you get it, you now understand that it is not about the job. It's about the assignment God has for you on the job. It's not about the fish you caught, because you're actually called to be what? An apostle. So you are now chairman of the company, but you understand that this has now given you room to be able to do certain things. What brought revival into this country were people that were sent into this country by apostolic church. They sent them from Britain, alright? They came in as businessmen and as teachers in secondary schools to start planting SU. They were the ones that brought revival. They came as teachers, but their deeper assignment was to stir up Christianity. One of them, the old Leventis, he was CEO of Leventis, he used to have teaching sessions, Hugh Street in Yaba, where Pastor W.F. Kumin used to sit under him. Can you remember what was in Leventis? But the impartation he did there. So God says you are chairman, but it's deeper than that. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, so what happens? Let me close now. Put up the image, stage one. Stage one, you are seated in darkness, wondering what is going on. Now, that light on top is God beaming his light to you. The cloud of darkness is still over. You are wondering. You are crying. You are saying, you know what's going on inside my life? I don't understand. You are tired and all of that. Then you hear a message like this message, and you go to stage two. You decide, I am now going to start praying. You pray the prayer of faith. You believe that God has heard and answered your prayer right there, and then God begins the motion. So you understand that light is going to start coming where you are. As he answers, quickly, let's go to three. You pick up the word of God and you start reading the Bible. Stage four, the light now begins to come. Through thanksgiving and worship in that particular situation, light now starts coming into the scriptures. Light starts coming into the word of God. Light, all right, begins to come in into the scriptures. There, you are now reading, you are now understanding. Okay, now I get it. You read Joseph, you read David, you see the pattern that is going on in your life. It's the same pattern that went on in their life. You see all of that, joy begins to come in. You get to stage four, stage five there, all right? Stage five, and joy starts coming, more light is coming, the darkness is being pierced, big holes are coming now. You are now living, working for God. Stage six there, the whole heavens are opened over you. All right, the day has dawned. The day starts risen in your heart. You are that new level. You are that place. And God says now, you got this manifestation. We'll start all over again with the next level. So, what happens there is that Jesus said in John 14, verse 11 to verse 15, Jesus said, believe in me, I am in the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verse 12, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works shall he do, because I go to the Father. How are you going to do it? And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, it says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do what? Do it. And then verse 15, it says, if you love me, after you have prayed, keep the commandments I give you. You ask for it, he says, I will do it, but I will give you commandments to keep. Keep those commandments. Because it is in those commandments you keep, that's where you are going to have the results. Deuteronomy chapter 6, from verse 1 to verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6, from verse 1 to verse 4. It says, now these are the commandments and statutes, judgments, where the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land that you go to possess it. Thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and keep his statutes and his commandments which I command you this day, that thou, thy son, thy son's son, and all the days of thy life, your days may be prolonged. Verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee in doing it. Alright? Well with thee, and that thou might increase mightily, and the Lord thy God of thy fathers promised thee in the land which floweth with milk. In other words, where would the increase come? In doing those commandments. So as the light begins to come, it's those commandments, you start seeing the commandments of God. These are the commandments that give you that distinction in your life. So somebody that is doing more has more of those instructions. How did they get those definite instructions? All right? Got those instructions as they laid out. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5 to 7, and I close with it. It says this. Behold, I have taught you statutes, judgment, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land that you go to possess. It says this, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom, those statutes and judgment. Alright, in the sight of the nations that shall hear all these statutes, saying, surely this is a great nation, wise, understanding people. Verse 7, for what nation is there that has, what distinguished the nation of Israel? The judgment and the commandment. 2 weeks ago, I went to Bishop Edeku and he was talking to me about something, and we're talking about opening centers. And he just said, in passing, he said, you know, God told us to do 5,000. And so he used a particular terminology and said, so I told him we should wait. Now, how do you translate this thing of commandment into this? How did you get those things? And so he started explaining. But when he said the instructions that God gave them as to how to build 5,000 churches in a year, it sounded very simple. It sounded very obvious. It sounded like something you can practice. But actually, you just don't know it. And the issue is being able to take the promise and to translate it into those commandments. He said, this is how we got the pastors. We did 1, 2, 3, 4. I said, who? This is how we did this. We do want to. So, there are commandments. There are statutes. That's what it says, is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. To those that are without, these things are done in parables. It's people that have downloaded that. That will tell you this is what you're supposed to do. And there are people who may operate under an open heavens, or are pierced at least certain levels, so they can tell you things. They just tell you that, look, change this. Now, let me tell you where the problem is. Let me tell you, that's why the Bible says, and please hear this well, that's why the Bible says that in your latter days, a person will mourn and says that my labor is in the house of strangers. He says, how I did not listen to my teachers and those that instructed me. You know what the problem was? People that had the commandments and statutes told them, and you didn't listen. Because you didn't agree. And you just didn't know that you were in darkness and they were in light. So, what you called light is actually darkness. You know, one day I was flying from South Africa and Sinach was on the flight. I've said this before. I went to meet her. I said, she just finished recording an album. I said to her, this is your third album? She said, no, seven. I said, where are the other four? Ah. Say, you think it's today? I started singing. I've sang things nobody heard. that you sing under closed heaven. I said, so what happened? Said Pastor Chris called me and told me something. What he said wasn't deep. What he said was very simple. Make this adjustment and you'll see what will happen. She said, I made the adjustment. And what happened? She went global. It wasn't increase of talent or increase of anointing. It was just a simple adjustment. People that have those statues means they struggle too with something. And while they were struggling, the fault was in them. Then they humbled themselves and understood that the world doesn't revolve around me. If it is not working, then it means there's still something wrong with the way I'm doing it. And you go to God in worship and say, show me where it is. And you open the Bible and you look at it. I'm telling you, every secret of God is to show you that there is a veil. When he opens it, it's always obvious. It will be obvious and very easy to do. But because there's a veil over, you just won't see it. Tiny adjustment. I believe she has gone into more countries than the person that advised her. She's global today. All right? But if you stand and say, I'm not going to agree, they come and meet you on your business, they say, I'm not going to agree. I'm not going to agree. They come and meet you and they say something, they say, I'm not going to agree. All right? You won't take simple instructions. All right? Simple. All right? Simple things like just write something down. You won't take. I mean, I've got to congratulate Chelsea people. Well, let me just close by saying this. You know, yesterday, and when the Man City coach picked his team, I knew he was making an obvious mistake that in 2005 the Liverpool coach made. When you tinker too much with your team on a final to try to confuse your opponent, you confuse your players. It's your own players that will be confused. You play a formation for the first time in your life, you'll be confused. It happened to us 2005. It was 15 years later that the assistant captain had the guts to tell the coach on air. He said that team that you selected was the first time all of us played together for the first time. We had never. He said, even in training, we didn't play together. What made you do it? He said, I thought this. We were down 3-0 first half. At least he had humility. By second half, he brought out all the people, put the right people there. We scored 3 goals in 20 minutes. If it's not working, then you need to tinker with something inside you. Are you following me? I shan't agree. This world doesn't revolve around you. This world doesn't revolve around you. It revolves around God. Alright? And you can be, don't think that, because it's ego. So once you get to that place, don't harden your heart. Just worship God. I told, so even she told me that day, she said, I was a singer. Pastor Chris called me at the beginning, posted me to other departments, to sell CD, to camera, to do all of that. She said, I humbly took all those things. That's why today she can be doing recording and know things. Are you following what I'm saying? God can move you into any space at any time. And pray to God that you sit under a strong leader that can call anything that is necessary for your soul without batting an eyelid. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, without batting an eyelid will say to you that, and they are doing it because of what they say in your future, that go and do this thing. Alright? Because it is tomorrow you will now know that actually it was good for me, as David said, that I was afflicted. So if they say in your office they didn't promote you, I don't understand, the boss he doesn't know what he's doing. You are working in a company where the boss was the one that had the dream. He gathered everything, they employed you. Now you suddenly know more than the boss. Oh yeah, start your company now. How can you be more intelligent than the people there? Are you collecting salary from them? Oh yeah, start your own. You cannot. So you better listen well to what is going on there. And the day they say, stand at the gate, say that Jesus, there's a reason. At the gate I am for a reason. And do that. And never allow a trace of ego inside your being, because it will take you out of God's plan for your life. Are you following what I'm saying? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, and by the power of your spirit, I ask that you grant grace to all of us under the sound of your voice, to humble ourselves under you, strength not to harden our hearts as we go through the process of your will being fulfilled in us, that those things we've prayed about might materialize in our lives, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, please, one announcement. Next week, 7 p.m. is online only. Online. All right, we'll have a communion service. All right, so everybody will be in their homes, and it will be online, like we did Good Friday. All right, so you can take the Passover online. All right, finally, I want to congratulate, I told them, Chelsea. So all Chelsea fans, we are not bad people. We don't do beef. Even when Liverpool won, I didn't do this. Covenant Nation congratulates all Chelsea fans. You are most welcome inside this church. God bless you.